Welcome to the Short Rod Show. You're talking with Ben.
And you got Brett.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're cranking out episodes here all through the non-ice season.
Yeah. No.
What a bummer. Jeez. Man, it's 2 days after Christmas when we're recording this.
Yeah. Special afternoon episode. Instead of beers, we got coffees.
Well, this is morning.
Well, mid-morning.
I know. Yeah. We're drinking coffee down here in the basement. A couple days after Christmas, Brett was fighting a blizzard down south.
Yeah, we got 3 inches of snow. I thought I moved south. I could avoid some of the snow and just get the ice, but that didn't work out.
Bust out the snowblower later. See how that goes.
Yeah. Well, we do have the sled. As I left, Thomas was building a snowman in a sledding
snowman
down the hill.
Snow even.
We got some excellent sledding hills.
That's awesome.
Like premium sledding
hills. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
All the way from the beginner to the advanced out in the hayfield where
you'll be out there this summer kind of leveling it out with some extra dirt, making a real smooth little runway.
Yep. We'll have the dozer out in the spring.
Oh, really?
Because I think we're going to put the shed down straight south of the house.
Okay.
Is where we're going to put it now.
Yep.
So there'll be a dozer there to help flatten stuff out.
Nice. You're not just going to rent a skid loader and do it?
No, I'm not doing any of it myself.
No. Oh, man. Nice. Well, what are we talking about today, Brett?
Well, I think we're going to do a special Christmas episode. So discuss Christmas gifts, what all we got from the family. And
we got a haul.
And then let's dive into Ben's rods. Because he's got a clear division of rods at the moment of
I do
keepers, winners and losers.
Yep.
Keepers and maybe what are you going to do with those other rods?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe
I don't know. Yeah. We can touch
maybe,
on
maybe a giveaway.
we definitely thinned out the rod case here in the last few days. So I've had a little bit of time off, been spending time organizing gear kind of like everybody else because you can't go out ice fishing. I mean, I was literally going to hop in the truck with my son Henry and just drive north.
Yeah, but you'd have to go hours.
And I was looking north at the ice reports, and I mean, it's to Minneapolis.
Get on something where you'd be comfortable with taking Henry out there.
No.
You're going to like Hackensack.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, and after the Christmas holiday, kind of over the weekend, where they had weather in the 50s.
Yep.
You know, it just tanked the ice.
So, I mean, I'm sure further south you'd get on some small ponds, lakes, by yourself, but not something I would take my three-year-old kid on.
Yeah. We're not going to drive 7 hours north.
Just go ice fishing.
Just
for a couple hours and come home. A
couple hours, try and make it back, whatever. Stay out overnight.
Well, you could take him to the Owl. What's that called? That hotel?
Ooh, the Owl's Nest.
The Owl's Nest. Yeah. You'd really break Henry in.
Roadside motel.
Yeah.
Yep.
Break him in real well there. Check for bed bugs.
Make sure you got enough blankets in there because, man, it doesn't matter.
Chilly.
It's just cold.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, we had quite the haul for Christmas. Brett, maybe we touch on your stuff
because
you don't have it laid out in front of you, but
and
it sounds like you had a very mature homeowner type Christmas.
Well,
where you're getting tools
project
stuff.
Project Christmas. And that's all I asked for. Like I didn't put because I was like, I need these things now.
Yep.
But so no fishing gear actually. Except for what Ben got me for Christmas,
the Beaver Dam.
Beaver Dam tip up, which is awesome.
Oh yeah.
And it's out lined up ready to rock and roll. I'm thinking about maybe putting a little floaty on it and just send it out into the pond anyways.
Oh, float a tip up out.
Float
there.
A tip up out there.
Ooh. Okay. So tell me more about that. I was going to say you'd have to have a little tow strap
and I'd use that to set the hook somehow.
Oh,
I don't know
gosh.
How that would work. I don't know how it would work.
But I mean if you had a fish on there, it's going to hook itself, right? You're not going to be up there watching it all the time.
I don't know. I don't know if it would or not.
Yeah.
Cuz it's just free spool.
Yep. Put a couple small circle hooks on there.
Yeah, there we go.
And then, send it out. And then when you start pulling it in, just let it take off a little bit. And then when get the spool, then
we set the hook.
Then you yank her.
Maybe.
Yep.
But otherwise, I got...
Maybe do that with one of your cheap tip-ups.
Yeah. I won't put the Beaver Dam out. Yeah, but the Beaver Dam will float. The other ones won't float.
You think?
Well, it's made of wood.
Yeah, true. But I don't know. Those Beaver Dams, I'm really, nostalgic now and feeling like I could pass those down to my kids.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm feeling
keep them greased?
Keep them greased up. Keep the paint kind of nice, keep the wood from getting all rotted out with getting wet and all that.
Yep.
You know.
Made in the USA.
Yeah, I might just do
made
that.
Made in Wisconsin.
So maybe use those cheap ones.
Yeah, might be.
Floating a tip up. If anybody's ever done that, comment. Let us know.
Float it out, see how it worked.
Float a tip up on a pond. I mean, because this would be the year to do it.
So far.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I've got 2,500 square foot of LVP to put down whenever that gets in.
Oh my gosh.
Which LVP stands for luxury vinyl plank.
That's
which is like your vinyl wood.
Yep.
Faux wood.
The good stuff.
Flooring. That's super dent resistant, super scratch resistant.
Yep.
Very durable.
Makes it feel like home.
Yeah, as part of buying this new house, they had a flooring credit for us, and I could either hire someone to do the floors that really needed to be done, and
yeah, sure,
which was only going to be like 1,000 square feet, or I could do the whole house myself with the credit. So I was like, shit, all right, let's just do the whole house.
What else are you doing this whole break?
Yeah, exactly.
Might as well be doing flooring.
So we're gonna. I got all flooring related stuff. So I got LVP cutter, some spacers for the LVP. Demo bar to start ripping out wood floors that are.
Did you try ripping up any section?
I did not. Thomas did though.
Really?
Well, this is a 60-inch bar.
Took the demo bar.
Like
to the floor.
It took all 50 of his pounds to do it. But he didn't do it on purpose. He was just playing with it, and then just like tried it, and half one board popped out. I was like, oh shit.
Oh, that's great. So he tested out. It works.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a lot of leverage on that side.
Oh yeah. I'm impressed with bar. You can lift up anything.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's ready to rumble. And then I got some gloves and that sort of stuff, but chore gloves.
There you go. Yeah. The big the farmer pack.
Well,
the yellow gloves.
No, these aren't the old. I hate those things.
What?
Because they I don't know if the web of my thumb to index finger is like oddly shaped
compared
to everyone else. But like I can never open. Yeah, I can never open my hand all the way with those yellow chore gloves. Like the web between index and my thumb is never big enough on those yellow gloves. So I can only open my hand like 3/4 of the way rather than fully. So I like the insulated ones with the PVC on the outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just a little coating, keep them a little drier.
But they're not the thin ones. They're insulated. Yep. The actual cotton part is insulated. And then
good deal.
Ready
good
to rock deal. And roll.
That's
with
a
that.
Very, homeowner project-based Christmas there.
Mm-mm.
Very much
and some knee pads.
Knee pads for the floor. Flooring in.
Yeah, and some new knee pads. I forgot about that.
Oh, man. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I had a little bit of a fishing Christmas where I got some things ahead of time. We already broke in onto the Rapala set because that was Black Friday.
You just bought that.
I just got that. But that was part of my gift. That was pretty cool.
Gift to yourself.
Yep. The tip up over there.
Oh, yeah. Wonder Bread, the Wonder Bread version.
The Wonder Bread version Beaver Dam. If you guys have seen these, this thing's pretty wild looking. It caught my eye. It actually caught my wife's eye when we were at Fleet Farm checking them out. She's like, oh my gosh, you have to get that. So pick that up. It's got the Wonder Bread flag.
Yeah.
A lot of purple in it.
Is that more purple than you're accustomed to?
Yes. Versus like, when I think of Wonder Bread, I think like red, pink, blue. This has a lot of blue, a lot of purple to it.
But interesting.
Turned out pretty nice. Got her spooled up with some 20-pound tip-up line. The really cheap line. That's what I got you too. The really cheap Fleet Farm
thanks.
Line. Yeah, really cheap. This is like half the price of the regular whatever the name brand is.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
But yeah, it's just like cord. blind string or something. String up your blinds at home, but...
Yeah, those will be nice.
Yeah, that'll work out really good. I need to figure out what kind of hooks I want to do on it.
What I'll be real interested is put it to the test next to the cheapo ones to see like sensitivity, that sort of thing. In the wind, how do they hold up?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff.
Yep.
I mean, over time, I'm sure these ones will last longer.
Oh, yeah.
But just right now, as those cheapo ones are fairly new still, they should be working great. I'd be interested to see.
I mean, a tip-up's a very simple device when you think about it. At the end of the day, there's not a lot that can go wrong, but I think the good parts and the main features of that, I mean, that's what just sets it apart for longevity, right?
Steel pool, or reel.
The steel parts, the solid wood, like, it's not going anywhere, you know?
Well, you can pry it up out of the ice if you need
to. Absolutely, you can
beat it. Or those other ones the cheaper ones I got still have the, I think it's more of like a tin composite metal, Chinesium,
but definitely. Yep.
I didn't want the plastic ones for sure because, anytime the hole freezes over and you got to rip it out of there, they're going to break.
One, you guys know how plastic is, especially cheap plastic
when
in
it's
the winter.
Cold.
Oh, my gosh. It's gone. Forget about it. It's just going to chip apart into a million pieces. But, otherwise, I got some of these rechargeable lights. I'll give you one here to
Dude, these things
out.
Are legit.
This was on my Amazon wish list, and my wife
They're like little rectangular
these.
Lights with a... handle or slash stand on the back of them.
Yeah, they're kind of goofy. I can't tell.
But they're LED.
Does
it say what brand? It's just Chinese brand.
No, I'm gonna look them up on Amazon. The strange part about them, so they're rechargeable, which is good. I mean, they just have two like lithium cells in it.
Yep.
Which that yep. good on them for making that replaceable. Like,
oh yeah.
If you wanted to swap these
out
cells out
cells
with something
in.
New, like these should last quite a while. which is pretty neat. Otherwise, oh, T. Sunnus, S-U-N-U-S, two-pack of work light, rechargeable, portable, SMD, LED, super bright floodlight, working lamp.
Four.
Gotta love it. What do you think those run?
Each or for the pack?
For the pack. They come in a pack of two.
I'm going to say $35.
$25.
Ooh, I wasn't too far off.
With a 5%, ooh, 10% promo code. So you can get these for like $20.
That's pretty good deal.
$22 for two of them.
For as bright as these. So it's got three brightness modes and then a red and then a flashing red.
Yep. And they're only like, I don't know, 5 inches.
Yep.
Square, 5x3.
How long do you think they'll last?
So I did. I ran a little test.
Oh, okay.
Actually, had them running for about 3 hours.
Oh,
on high.
On high, nonstop.
Well, they were getting a lot dimmer towards the end.
Sure.
I think they have a really good like thermal management deal where it just kind of backs them off over time.
Yeah.
So it definitely got a little bit dimmer. But what I was thinking about using these for is on the quad. So the quad has a little 6-volt headlight and a 6-volt, you know, taillight.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see anything with it. It's just there to make people see you. But if I can mount a couple of these, one in the front, maybe one in the back, just to have a little area light when we're packing up.
Yep.
That'd be nice.
Well, it's got that screw port. What's that called?
Yeah, like a quarter by 20 bolt.
Yep.
I don't know, mount.
It's like the mount. It's like you a threaded, your cameras. Yeah. It'd screw like, yeah, those threaded into your spotting scopes, those types of thread type deal that threads right on your tripod mount. Yep. But yeah, just get a little bolt or something to put under, or put it on the back of your shack.
Oh,
or
absolutely.
On the back of the quad. Yeah, that'd be fine too. Just mount it up on there.
Well, I thought about on the shack, but then we talked about that last time about just mounting all kinds of stuff on there.
Yeah, yeah.
I do need to figure out, I don't want these lights to get in the way when we're loading the quad up.
I don't think
you know
will.
What I mean? Because I would mount it on that bar.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The grab handle kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like grabbing that handle and yanking it around, moving it.
If you put it in the middle, I don't think you'll grab it too hard.
Yeah, I'm going to try it out. And if you look really close, the LEDs.
Are you going to mount it to the front of the handlebars, or are you going to mount it to
the front
rack? No,
I'll mount it to the rack. Just cast light out in the front. The LEDs are not lined up at all in there. Look at how off-center.
No, it's like a tape of LEDs that they put in there.
Yes.
For sure.
This is like somebody getting a little wonky at the factory in China trying to make them.
They've been dipping into the sake.
Maybe. Maybe. But yeah, otherwise, I think they're pretty decent. They have a little hook on them. One thing I was confused, they have these yellow dots.
They're just there.
They're not magnets, though. I thought it was a magnet.
Oh.
It's not a magnet.
They're nothing. And then there's a little hook on them.
They got a hook, which is nice.
That's going to break.
That's not going to do anything. Yeah. Absolutely. So as far as like just setting them up.
But you just set them off to the side.
You know,
they're bright.
Like, yeah. Just using them for some area light, floodlights.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know, I'd say 3x5.
3x5-ish, yep.
Nice.
Not bad at all. Can never have too many lights. That's what I've learned.
No, especially night fishing. That's a big deal, having plenty of light when you pack up so you know you got everything.
Yep, for sure. My mother-in-law got me a fishing shirt from Scheels, which I don't have with me right now, but it's it's one of their, you know, SPF fishing long sleeves with a hood on it. Really impressed with how thick it is.
So nice.
It's more of like a fall kind of... It's not really you can use it in the summer, but I guess I was more surprised with how thick it was. If you want to wear it when you're a little bit chilly. So
sure.
Try that.
I don't like
a
big, thick, heavy hoodie. I like those medium weight hoodies and then put a jacket over
it. Yeah, like this one.
That's what I like.
The Widowmaker medium weight.
Yep.
This one is like, oh, perfect.
Because it's a big, heavy hoodie and then I put a jacket on, then you're just sweating your butt off the whole
time.
Much.
Or you just wear the hoodie. That's it. Like you're kind of, that's the dividing line. If it's raining or whatever.
Yep.
Nope. Not going to work. Otherwise I got some gloves too. So
still sticking with the Strike Master. Oh, these are different
Striker.
Ones. Or Striker.
So these are my old ones.
Oh, okay.
These are
I thought you were showing me new ones here.
Striker. Shoot.
See, the thumb webs wore off.
Are they Tundra? Yeah. So what's funny about these are these might be the attack gloves. I've had these, I don't know, 5 years.
I mean, they still fit nice, but seams coming out.
Yeah, so they ripped the seam.
Between the web of the thumb, just like I was talking about with the white, with the yellow chore gloves.
And this kind of got chewed up, the like lining inside there.
Yep.
The tips are getting rubbed through. I put these through the ringer. I grabbed something
Grabbed something real hot.
Melted it.
At some point,
So I got some melt marks on them, but they're really warm gloves, and that's what I really liked about them. They're kind of a hybrid glove where it's in between, like, when you're just riding the quad out to the lake, these are just fine.
At one point, were these waterproof?
Yeah, well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, like, dip your whole hand, grab a fish in the hole, waterproof. Yep. And that's what I like,
too. If I recall, the waterproofing didn't last very long.
No, it did.
Oh, it did?
It did, until I ripped through here, and this is the liner part, obviously, which is like a plasticky liner.
This two-inch hole emerged,
but it did it on both waterproof. So yeah, rip through the web of the thumb on these things. But yeah, they ran through the ringer.
How long did that last you? 5 years?
Probably 5 years.
No, that's not bad when you're using them as much as you did.
Yeah, I used the heck out of them. I'll post a picture of these because it's pretty impressive with the melt between the melting through, rubbing through. Yeah, I mean, these are really soft gloves. Like, they're not real tough.
Yeah,
I guess when I bought them. So anyway, I went with the Fleet Farm Special. These are the attack gloves from Striker.
A little bulkier.
Not too much, though.
But otherwise, the design seems pretty
similar. Very similar.
They do have it kind of...
Definitely tougher.
See, it's still going to rip out right there. Because what do we got? One, two, three seams kind of coming together.
I'm already feeling it, too. These are the double X.
It's a little tight right there.
2XL. These are like the biggest ones they make. I don't know how big your hands are, but they feel...
These fit.
They
fit. Okay, for me. Yeah.
Yeah, but like they probably could be a little
bit
bigger.
I don't have real big hands.
They could be a little bit bigger on me even.
I mean, your hands are bigger than mine, and I mean, these fit. Yeah. They're not tight.
Yeah.
If this is the biggest they make, if you're a very big man.
Yeah, I don't know how that
works. Because I would say I generally wear a large glove.
Oh, really?
I don't know. This might be the first time I've ever in my life fit an XXL anything.
Yeah, they're something. They're a little bit tougher is what I liked about them.
So if you do are an individual with large hands, these are probably not for you.
Nope. And these are double XL twos.
Interesting.
And these are bigger. Well, these are well used, the old ones. But I'm excited to try these, though. They should be 100% waterproof, same way.
For now.
Very warm, 150 grams insulation.
I mean, anytime any of these seams, I'm not saying it's anything specifically Striker. I think that's just any sewn glove. The waterproofing is only going to last
so long.
Well,
it has a waterproof liner. That's the key. So this plasticky stuff, the Hypora.
Yeah.
That's the liner.
That's the waterproof part. So water still gets in between in there.
It can, yep.
It just doesn't get through that liner.
Yeah, that's the part. Yeah, your glove gets wet.
Yeah.
Like, I've had my glove freeze solid.
Oh, okay.
When it gets wet because it's insulating your hand, but then it's keeping your hand heat from melting off the... Yeah. Depends on how cold it is.
Really, the only time I've had long-term success with anything waterproof type gloves would be like a neoprene or a... Mm-hmm. PVC vinyl type.
Yep.
Insulating.
Yeah, like
glove.
Rubbery.
Yep.
Rubbery stuff. Yeah, I got a little reflective on there for a little high fashion. Dark gray, black.
Nah, they're good looking gloves.
Not bad.
For sure.
They're $50. So not cheap gloves.
Not on the cheap end.
Not expensive ones. I think these are $45 when I bought them back in the day on sale.
Without the inflation.
Without the inflation.
Jeez.
5 years ago. But Striker has gloves that were dang near $100.
Those better be waterproof their whole life.
Yeah. I mean, ridiculous. And to that point, I mean, I have, you've seen those mitts that I have, kind of the cutoff ones with the flip over.
Yep. I'm partial to those mitts. I like
them. I don't use them hardly at all.
Yeah.
Because I have something like this that is pretty much the same thing. And then when I want to do something, I take them off.
Yeah.
Or I'll wear my cutoff wool gloves.
Yeah.
You know,
I like wearing those wool gloves. And I just, if I got to stick my hand in the water, I just take them off.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I've got many pairs. So if one does get wet, I just swap them out.
Well, and wool dries so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be dry in no time.
It dries fast when you're not in negative degree.
True.
Weather. Yeah.
When the water's not solid.
When the water's not solid. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm excited to try these things. They're pretty warm.
My glove options just turned into I just bring three pairs of my wool flip-over gloves, and then as one gets wet, you just swap them out. And
multiple gloves, for
usually
sure.
Make it through the day.
Yep. Yeah, these are not too big, that's for sure. Like, the web of my pinky finger is right up in here.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising how small those are for being an XXL. Like, I would expect to be swimming in those otherwise.
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
Oh, just looking at that seam.
That seam right there.
Out.
Yeah, that's gonna be the break point again.
Dang it. Well, we might have to test out the Striker warranty, see how it goes.
I mean, other than having an extra pair of layer over the palm of your hand.
Well, this is tougher material.
Well, it is tougher material.
But like
but
this
like,
nylon material, I like that better because then you're not gonna stick stuff.
The stitching design is very similar.
Stitching is very similar. The cuff is a little different.
It's a little longer.
I feel like the cuff is already however big it's going to be. Like, it's not,
yeah,
you're not actually cinching it up with the,
oh yeah,
the Velcro thing,
yeah,
too much, you know, just kind of gets in your way. But
otherwise, it'll be a nice quad.
They got the goofy freaking 3M Thinsulate.
Well, they got to put that on there.
The big old tag dangling off. I'll have to cut that off.
Got to have that.
It's all about branding.
Yep.
So,
Thinsulate.
Yeah, pretty good Christmas. Not bad at all. Lots of cool toys to try out.
No fishing gear though, huh?
Well, when we talk about that rod, I did purchase a inline reel just because.
Oh, sure.
I hadn't seen anyone talk about it before, and I thought, you know what?
So is this your Christmas deal where you're purchasing these gifts and then wrapping them for yourself sort of
absolutely.
Deal, huh?
Absolutely.
I see.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm really hard to buy for.
See, I'm more of a, I just make a long list of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then anyone that has me, like, you know, you draw for family Christmas gifts or white elephant stuff for, well, not necessarily the white elephant thing, but just gift ideas. I just share that list.
Yeah.
Like, no matter the price of it, like, you can... There'll be things from $10 to $200 on there.
Oh, yeah. Just a little variety.
And then I know if there's things that are still on that list, then I just go buy them at the end of the season.
Yes.
If I really need them still.
So your wish list is like, by the end of the season, I'm going to get all this. It's just a matter of when.
Who gets it for me?
Who buys it?
Yeah.
No, I'm similar. You know, and a lot of the stuff, it's hard to buy for an ice fisherman in general.
Yeah.
Other than... You know, the basic stuff. Like, if I guess that's a good question. If somebody wanted to purchase some gift for an ice fisherman, it's hard to do that.
Well, listen to this podcast. Well, we'll hook you up.
You could.
You get a lot of good ideas on brands. The brand specific part is
that's tough.
Is the part that really that's gets hard. You. Because there are,
yeah,
like, as a, and then really any kind of hobby or anything, there's brand specific things that people like. Like, you obviously specifically like those Striker gloves, specifically want. You know, like these lights, yeah, you can go get any brand, whatever. But like Widowmaker lures or, mm-hmm. you know, these reels, like you like the Okuma, where someone that's not into ice fishing be like, oh, this is a black reel. Let's just go get a black one.
Yeah, he likes the black reels.
Yeah, he likes the black reels.
That could be anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, and that's what's kind of tough about it. I think, you know, the standby stuff, lights. I can never have enough lights.
Yeah.
I have a bajillion lights.
Yeah. You do have a lot of lights.
Oh my gosh. Love lights. I've always loved flashlights since I was a little kid. All that. Have all the different kinds. But gloves too. Like, if you can't go out there without enough gloves. If you had two or three sets of gloves, right? One's a wool cutoff set or you got something else.
Yeah, I'm looking at five lights right now on this pool table.
Yeah. not the chore gloves, but yeah. No, lights. Yeah, this is nothing. This is just stuff I don't use.
Yeah, yeah. This is just stuff that we've table. Been sitting here for the last
yeah.
3 months.
Hasn't even been on the ice yet. But gloves are a good one, too. And then, I don't know. We're going to talk about ice rods here, but that's kind of personal to me.
Yeah, that one, if you're going to get a gift of an ice rod for someone, you need to be probing them for some information first. Especially if you want to buy them a nice one.
Yep.
You want to make sure you get exactly what they want.
Yep.
Because there are so many options in. Different things.
Unless you're getting schoolies. I would still take any schoolies that are out
there.
Yeah, you
can pack schoolies pretty easy. Well, they're just generic schoolies. It's all the same. Well, length is the only thing, the only decision that you have to make with those.
Yep.
Longer the better, usually.
Yep. Like the 40. The Mag 40.
I do like that Magnum 40, especially standing up outside.
Oh, absolutely.
That one is nice.
Does that still, I can't remember now, does that still have the same guide on it? So it's literally a big stick, one threaded eyelet.
Yep. That's exactly. It's the exact same setup. It's just a little longer.
That's awesome.
For all the schoolies. It's just longer.
Remember when I got that? That was sweet.
That was a sweet surprise. I wasn't ready for that.
Man.
All right, Ben.
All right. So
dive me into
rod. What I'm looking at here. Okay. Here's the other piece.
Got more Christmas stuff?
No. Oh. Well, kind of. Okay. I was going to get a rod case and update my rod case because my Scheels hard case.
Yep.
It's beat.
But it's just it's just an open
space.
There's no like individual holders or anything in there. It's just eggshell or egg carton foam.
Yep.
And you just set stuff in there.
And it's done well, you know, for me so far.
But it ends up kind of a mess.
It's a tangled
by the end
mess.
Of the by the middle of the season, not even the end.
It crushes the stuff together to like hold it to keep it from moving around and stuff, but still, every time you open it, it's just a
stuff's
total
moved.
Mess.
Yeah.
Yep. I think that's only like a 30
And a little bit of that's the result of putting how many rods are you putting into that sucker?
Well, I packed all these rods. Literally,
yeah.
Minus two, three of these rods. All of these were
one,
in there.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 rods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12 rods in a 5-rod case.
Yeah, a little over capacity.
With a mix of spinning reels, inline reels, the whole bit. So, and that's the part I didn't like about when I switched over. When I bought that case, that's probably a 10-year-old case.
And it's still in good shape.
Yeah, other than a little rusty.
Yeah.
A little rusty around the hinges and the clips and stuff. But that's just because it's cheap metal. It's like kind of steel, but not really.
Chinesium.
Not well-coated Chinesium.
No.
But when I bought that case, I was running inline reels all the time. And like low-profile. Low-profile stuff. I think that one with the real tall double handle on it, that was the tallest reel that I had.
That thing is pretty tall.
And then I started running some spinning reels, and that's a whole different story on how to store them. I think the way to store those is
every other way.
Hang them up and down. Yep. You know, like actually let the reel droop down vertically in your case. So that was a little different story there. So, yeah, when I purchased that, it worked out really well. It's held up great. Like it's bounced off the back of the Otter while we're cruising in the quad.
And that's a Shields
fell
one, you
off
said?
The truck. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So really a big fan of that. So I was looking at Shields again, and they have that 36 or the 42-inch case.
Sure.
With it's basically made by Plano. It's a Plano rifle case.
Oh, okay.
So that's the big key that I found here. I actually found it at Fleet Farm, and it's $110 from Plano. It says Plano 36-inch rifle case, and it just has the foam, but the nice compression foam that's cut into like pre-cut into the little squares.
Yeah.
So you could cut out your own kind of setup.
Oh.
Potentially.
Nice.
But the more I think about it, the less I think that's what I would want to do, because the foam that's in there, you need, basically, if you look at the Shields case, it comes with actual like styrofoam, like
it's fancy a little softer. No,
it's harder.
Oh, it's harder.
So it's got a harder section of styrofoam with the little sections to stack your rods in there back and forth. I think that's almost a better, that's really what you need. You need something that's got a hard section to stack your rods in, and then you need something soft to go over top of it and hold them
compress
into the hard section.
Yep.
This, the Plano case by itself, to cut out all of your own, it'd be, a lot of work.
Well, what's the price difference? What are you looking at?
Well, so Shields had their rod case on sale for $129.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's 170 normally.
Mm.
Versus 110 from Plano.
Okay.
The other piece of that, you get a ton of Plano boxes. The storage hold, tackle
tackle
holders.
Boxes?
Yes.
Nice.
I think there's like 5 or 6.
Ooh.
So like I wouldn't use that's those for it. Ice necessarily. I'd probably pull those out, use them in the boat, whatever.
Yeah, I use them for all sorts of stuff. All
right, that makes it a little
bit
different.
I got some holding some nuts and bolts. I got some holding some bits. I got some holding some.
Absolutely. Start organizing the garage.
Bait tackles, some tackle stuff.
So that makes a little different proposition then in my eyes. So I have not purchased that yet. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Well,
you're getting to a point where you got.
I need something.
1, 2, 3, 4, at least 4 rods that are worth over $100.
Yeah, that I want to use all the time. Like, I'm going to be carrying them out there on the ice with me.
And you
every
can't
time.
Be breaking tips.
No. I'm not going to be stacking them in the lithium shuttle to carry them to the lake.
Yeah, that's a different deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's worth.
Yep.
By the time you consider that, the value of the rods that you're putting in there, the value of the case value is just worth just as much.
Sure. Yep. Yep. Exactly. So, yeah. Anyway, rod storage, you know, cool. I might just look at that Eagle Claw box too, just to get something for some of these. And then I could run 2 cases, I guess, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know yet. I also like thinking about what I'm going to get. Because then when I get it, I'm like, okay, well, now I got it. So.
Well, it gives us something to talk about.
On the next thing. Yeah, we got to have some content for the podcast before we get out on the ice.
So let's dive into a little bit about the rods that we're looking at here. Let's start with the original. The OG, what got Ben into rods in the first place?
Well, actually, if you want that, that's over here.
Well, I mean the original.
Well, do you want to see the first nice ice rod that I bought?
Well, if I can get these untangled.
That was more than $20.
Oh, sure. What's this one?
This one is the St. Croix something or other. I don't know what it's called. This is like a 26-inch medium.
Oh.
And for some reason, probably because I watched In-Depth Outdoors.
And they were using it.
They were using like a medium action rod.
Okay.
And I was like, I need something bigger. What if I catch something big?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got this pool cue here.
Yeah, yeah. Just put a little spring on the end of it.
No, I didn't even do that. This is just a straight fiberglass, you know, stick.
Nice.
It's decent. Look at the reel seats that came with it. I thought you'd get a kick out of those.
So
those
are just something you just compress onto your...
Well, not very well. It never held a rod on there very well.
No, probably not.
We're just looking at a solid cork handle, right? Not yep. split. It's got just a freaking twig of a fiberglass rod sticking out of it.
An inch in diameter.
Oh, yeah.
This cork handle is. It's huge.
Yep. And there is no progression of...
No, it bends all the way to bending. The butt.
Yep. It's just... It's a noodle rod that goes all the way, but it's stiff as a pool cue, too.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd use this for.
Hence why it's on the other side of the table.
Like, it's not even like... I don't know. The dead stick, I guess, and then you can really set the hook. A bobber rod.
It's got enough cork, we'll know it'll float. So
yeah.
That's
good. Yeah.
That's a good thing. But yeah, not great.
Okay, so that was your introduction.
I bought that at Hank's at the ice show probably 12 years ago.
Oh, looks 14, brand new.
14 years ago. Yeah, it's been in the rod case ever since. Count on one hand how many times I fished with it. So anyway, that was my first better than $20 rod.
Okay.
So that was probably a $50 setup. But yeah, Brett's holding the bullwhip.
Yeah, and you got two of these. Two of these BWs.
Yep. This is a classic kind of profile. So this is one where when I felt it at Shields the first time, I was like, man, this thing could catch some fish.
This is it.
And it does.
Sensitive.
It does.
Plenty of backbone.
Yep.
What do you think of the split grip versus what you just held with the full grip?
So,
and you have a mix of split and not split grips on here.
I love split grips. And when I was looking at that, the split grip is an extra like $20.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal and it's awesome.
Why? Yep. Why is it awesome?
So just what you're doing there, the way you're holding it, kind of, I don't know how you describe.
But I can hold the non-split grip the same way.
Yep. You're going to feel everything through that rod blank right in the web of your hand. We've been talking about that all day.
Yep. That'll be the title of this episode, the web of your hand.
Just right through there. Just
ooh,
so many fish
might have been
rubbing through the striker gloves, just wearing them out.
Yeah. So by split grip, what we mean is if you look at the butt of your rod, you got about an inch of whatever handle, and then there's rod blank in between the space, and then you get back into the handle again.
Yep.
And the value of that is then you can feel the rod blank, so it makes it a little easier to feel bites and that sort of stuff.
It looks way cooler.
And Ben thinks it looks
cool.
It's
a trick.
But
and that's EVA foam, so that those have a little bit of like a cork outer section in the front and the back,
sure,
and then EVA like plasticky foam in between, so
which I think is fine.
Yeah, it should hold up for
durable.
Yep. If you guys remember back a few seasons ago, I broke that rod.
Yep.
Falling out of my backpack.
Yep.
Landed right on the tip, snapped the tip off. Tuned Up Custom was great to work with there. They have a program, you send both parts back.
Nice.
And they'll basically give you that rod again at cost.
They just ship it. Oh, so, at cost. Gotcha.
At the
How
time,
much was
I
that?
Think it was, I think it was about $50.
Oh, geez. They're not making near the markup on these things as I thought they were.
I mean, that's a hell of a deal because it's a $130 rod.
Oh, I understand that. But I thought maybe they, I thought these were going to be like, the blanks were going to be like $15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're like, here you go.
We're just making a killing on these things.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I should probably switch the line out on that one.
Yeah.
That's kind of a science experiment there.
Well, I can feel some breaks in it already.
Yeah. I don't even know what kind of line that is.
It's blue.
Yeah, some blue mono.
Ice camo.
I did get a bunch more Suffix Advance.
Oh, nice.
4 pounds, so yep. I'll probably switch that one out.
Yeah, I think earlier when we first started doing the podcast a couple years back, I was a little bit on the fluoro or on the mono game a little bit, and I'm pretty much completely out of it now.
Really?
I've found after I said that and a few people commented, I started paying attention closer to what rods I was picking to fish with, whether they had the mono or the fluoro, and I found myself just always picking the mono or the fluoro rods.
Oh, interesting.
I never really picked up the mono ones.
See, and I don't have much experience with fluoro. I'm a mono guy. I like the little extra stretch. I don't know. It's what I know.
All right. I didn't realize that. I thought you were picking up fluoro also.
Uh-uh. Not like open water too? Suffolk
Advance? Yeah. Suffolk Advance is fluoro. Advance.
It's a mono that acts like a fluoro. Here, we got the package over there if you want to check it out.
Oh.
Sitting right up there. Grab that baby.
Oh, ice monofilament. Copolymer.
Hyper copolymer.
Copolymer version.
Nobody knows what the heck that means, but it's pretty trick too.
Both of them welded together.
Shoot, what did they say? It's a mono that fishes like a fluoro. Whatever the heck that means. Superior abrasion resistance. There you go. Unmatched sensitivity, low stretch, low memory.
Oh, nice.
Virtually memory free.
Virtually.
Not the case.
Yeah.
But hey, that's all right.
Huh.
It's still my favorite line. I like that. Suffolk is treating me pretty well. Since we got on the 832 Suffolk train.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Power Pro. We can have that discussion at some point. Probably in the comments section. Everyone's going to jump on that and tell us that we're wrong.
Yeah, that 832 is good stuff.
Yep.
Nice and absolutely. Smooth. Small diameter. All right, back to the ice rods.
So the Bullwhip, that's still like, that's my go-to rod for now. I'm excited this year. Because we have some other options on the table here that we'll talk about.
Yep. Actually, let's touch on that line quick where you talked about braid quick.
Yeah.
Yep. Why don't we have any braid on any of these lines, Ben?
I just ripped the last part of braid off the white reel over there.
Okay.
Because I always fish braid. I had the Power Pro.
Oh, during the summer, that's all I've got lined up is braid.
Ice Tech.
Okay.
Which is the waxy coated braid.
Okay.
And that was horrible. In the winter.
Still iced up on you.
Still iced up. Didn't matter. I mean, the water cannot beat off enough. And with that, the wax coated Ice Tech or whatever, Power Pro Ice Tech, it didn't matter. I mean, it would make the water bead and then the beads would freeze.
Yep.
Like 20 degrees outside, forget about it.
I mean, I think you hear a lot of people fishing with braid, and I still, the situations that we fish in, braid is a detriment rather than a positive. Like it, we're not fishing terribly deep. I mean, max depth, 30 feet, 40 tops.
Yep.
And that's pretty rare.
We're not pulling off 40-inch.
And we're fishing outside a lot.
Yeah, we're not pulling 40-inch Northerns out.
Yeah. We don't have to worry about things with teeth, really.
Yeah.
I just don't have a situation where we need braid, so we don't use braid for anything. All it does is freeze up on us.
Yes.
And so the positives... Or the negatives outweigh the positives.
Fishing in a house, I get it. You know, there's people that do that.
Yeah, if you're in your shack all the time or fishing in a shack or in a ice house or something like that and it's warm, no problem.
I would probably just do uncoated braid if that's the case.
Yeah, regular old braid.
I mean, I just haven't been impressed with the wax coating, whatever they put on that.
Ice braid stuff.
Ice braid.
No.
I'm not a fan of it. It just seems like it's more hassle than it's worth and you end up, holds way more memory too.
Yep. Once it gets cold too and freezes and then you're screwed. And then it's bringing all that water into the reel.
Yep.
And then everything's frozen.
It coats everything and makes one solid mass of ice.
Yep. Maybe we're just fishing in a little bit too extreme weather. Maybe we need to ease up a little bit and
we're getting soft in our old age though. Yep. That may change here.
Yep.
We'll be spending all of our time in the shack.
But fluoro and mono. And I'm talking 2 to 4 pound. 4 pound would be maximum size that I'm running.
The 4 pound, that's money.
I used to buy 6. Well, I think it's 6 pound on the schoolies.
Yeah, but look at how thin this Suffolk Advance 4 pound is.
Oh, yeah.
This is like not quite human hair, but a little bit thicker.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, this might be a good spot to break here.
Sure.
So we can have a little more content for next week.
Part two.
Coming in. Because we have a lot more rods to talk about.
This is a Christmas / New Year's.
Yes, absolutely. Episode. Well, guys, thanks for joining us on
The Short Rod Show.